Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand. It's a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bosser. The U.S. Interior Department has paused leases for five major offshore wind projects, including the Coastal Virginia Offshore Wind Project off the coast of Virginia Beach. John Doucette of member station WHRO has this story.
The Trump administration cited unspecified security concerns from classified defense reports as the reason to pause the five projects. The others are in New England and New York. In a statement, Dominion Energy says stopping construction on Virginia's project threatens jobs and grid reliability. Governor-elect Abigail Spanberger recently said she will stand up for the project when in office.
And unfortunately, we've seen the president choose to attack renewable energy at every juncture.
Dominion says the Interior Department ordered a 90-day suspension of work. John Doucette, WHRO News.
Radio IQ's Brad Kuttner contributed to this report. Enhanced federal subsidies to help bring down the cost of some health insurance plans will expire at the end of the year. Governor-elect Abigail Spanberger offered more details on how she'd help Virginians on Affordable Care Act health care plans recently, but she suggested the failure to extend subsidies at the federal level would require an effort to stabilize all markets to avoid spikes across the board.
This program, with its targeted efforts to stabilize, at least here in Virginia, the ACA marketplace, given the chaos we're seeing out of Washington, is meant to counter those efforts.
Spanberger also expressed hope that Congress could extend the federal program, though that appears unlikely without some sort of gap when the subsidies expire January 1st. An estimated 1.5 million people were newly diagnosed with HIV in 2024. But a facility in Richmond hopes to see those numbers drop even more. A partnership between Virginia Commonwealth University and the Medicines for All Institute has just released specifics on how a long-acting HIV preventative drug can be more cheaply produced. Brad Kuttner has this report.
It's called lenacapavir. Patients are injected with the medication twice a year, and it has a 99% efficacy rate in stopping HIV infections. While it could replace the once-daily medication called PrEP that millions are taking across the world, its current costs, in the tens of thousands in the U.S., makes it prohibitive to dole out to low-income countries where it's badly needed. But Dr. Tashina Rasool-Allah says her work at the VCU-linked Medicines for All Institute is working to change that. They just released a process that cuts the cost of production of lenacapavir by as much as a third.
The process, the technology that we developed, that 20 to 30% cost reduction, that is complete. All of the information is uploaded onto our website. As I mentioned before, people can go there, access it for free.
That's great news for those in high-risk populations, but now it's up to drug manufacturers to work with Gilead, the company that made the drug originally, to begin producing it. Frank Gupton, CEO of Medicines for All, said he hopes this will lead to production facilities closer to those in high-need areas like sub-Saharan Africa.
Them becoming self-sufficient to make their own drugs becomes a really empowering capability where they're not having to worry about, you know, supply chain issues.
The open access process is now available to any drug manufacturer who'd like to utilize it. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Coming up a little later on, several licensed medical cannabis growing operations are up and running in Virginia. And it's a lot more technical than a couple of grow lamps and flower pots in a basement.
So we start with what are called mothers. We'll take clones, we'll propagate all those clones. That allows us to have what's called a perpetual harvest.
Sarah Prince takes us on a tour of one of the facilities. We'll have that story up in a little bit. Governor-elect Abigail Spanberger has selected retired U.S. Army Major General Timothy Williams to serve as Virginia's next Secretary of Veterans and Defense Affairs. Williams retired in 2023 after 38 years in the armed forces, including nine as Virginia's adjutant general under three different governors, according to the Virginia Mercury. In that role, Williams oversaw the state's Department of Military Affairs, which provides leadership and administrative support to the Virginia National Guard. He'll need to be approved by the General Assembly. Governor Glenn Youngkin's term is set to end in the coming weeks, but a report he's helping write for President Donald Trump could soon be released. He's one of 13 people appointed to the FEMA Review Council, and they're expected to recommend sweeping changes to how the federal government responds to natural disasters. He spoke about this at a recent event in Damascus, as Roxy Todd reports.
In April, Governor Glenn Youngkin was appointed to the Review Council, which is led by Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. The council was scheduled to meet on December 11th, but before the meeting, CNN reported about a leaked draft of their final report, and the meeting was abruptly canceled. The following week, Youngkin attended an event in Damascus to celebrate the region's recovery after Hurricane Helene.
God bless you. God bless you.
Talking with reporters, he spoke briefly about the FEMA Review Council's recommendations.
We still have a final report to deliver, but the basic tenets are a federal government that's supporting the leadership of local and state capabilities to both respond and repair to emergencies.
It's not known now when their final report will be released, but according to CNN, the leaked draft says the council is recommending significant cuts to the federal FEMA workforce. Youngkin didn't talk about those job cuts directly, but said changes they're suggesting will help FEMA funds flow faster into communities.
And candidly, to move responsibility for the emergency actions and response and repair to the state and to the localities. I'm excited for this.
Youngkin said Virginia has demonstrated how states can effectively coordinate immediate and long-term rebuilding efforts after natural disasters, and pointed to his administration's efforts after Hurricane Helene as a success story. In Damascus, I'm Roxy Todd.
Virginia will receive more than $1.5 million from a settlement with Mercedes-Benz USA and Daimler AG over the company's efforts to circumvent emission standards. Attorney General Jason Miaris announced Virginia's portion of the nearly $150 million agreement Monday. Under the agreement, the two companies will have to install approved emission modification software on nearly 40,000 impacted vehicles, provide customers with an extended warranty, and pay them $2,000 per vehicle. Miaris joined with 50 other attorneys general in suing the two car companies. Roanoke native and former NFL tight end Rich McGeorge died over the weekend. He was 77. He was a standout athlete at Elon College, where he set a school record with 224 receptions for 3,486 yards and 31 touchdowns. And in basketball, his shooting percentage of 58.9 was a school record at Elon for 42 years. McGeorge spent 9 seasons with the Green Bay Packers and was later a coach at Duke and for the Miami Dolphins. McGeorge died Saturday of cancer in Durham, North Carolina. Virginia's Cannabis Control Authority recently announced a new accredited physician training program for providers who want to better advise their patients on the safe use of cannabis-related products. But how are those products made? Sarah Prince of member station WMRA toured a state-regulated dispensary in Manassas to find out.
So just heel in first, then pull back really fast.
That's Trent Wolovac, CEO of Jushi Holdings, which owns and operates several Virginia dispensaries. Trent is walking me through the cultivation corridor, which is the hallway at the heart of the operation. Each room shows a stage in the plant's 4 to 5 month life cycle.
And so we start with what are called mothers. We'll take a clone. We'll propagate all those clones. That allows us to have what's called a perpetual harvest.
Plants bask in warm, light-filled rooms with hundreds of fans providing ventilation.
We don't want hot spots in the room. That leads to yeast, mold, mildew. We don't want any of that. So these are getting 18 hours of light, 6 off.
Next up is the vegetation room, where the focus is on developing the trichomes, which house the feel-good medicinals of the plant, the cannabinoids, and terpenes.
Terpenes are very, very, very finicky. They're not stable like cannabinoids.
Yes.
And so, like, anything goes wrong, those are like the first thing to go.
After about 3 to 4 weeks in there, we'll move to what's called a flowering room.
The flowering room is cooler and less humid, with rows of plants lit from floor to near ceiling 12 hours a day for 2 months, which encourages the plant to start producing the flower with consistent results.
And good luck trying to do that outdoor. It ain't ever raining in here. It ain't ever windy in here.
As maturity nears, the trichomes start to show color. That's when they're flushed with water. Ironically, that's when they're cut down and moved into the drying and curing room.
And is the temperature usually this cold?
Yes. We want minimal degradation of the terpenes and the cannabinoids.
Drying and curing preserves the plant's terpenes, those lemony, orangey, piney aromas responsible for anti-inflammatory effects, pain relief, and enhanced chemotherapy benefits. The plants are auto-cured for about a week inside industrial-sized vaults with heavy locked doors and temperature and humidity monitors that track conditions inside.
We got to make sure all that moisture gets burped, is what we call it, out of the room correctly, so you don't do it too fast or do it too slow.
The plants are hung upside down and then placed in bins. Leaving moisture in can lead to mold growth, making the cannabis less medicinally useful. Next comes extraction and refinement to separate cannabinoids and terpenes from the plant. One technique is hydrocarbon extraction, where the buds are washed with a solvent that pulls out the plant's active compounds, turns them into an oil, which is then gently heated into a gas.
We will take the gas that are in those canisters, put so much pressure and heat that it will liquefy, and we will end up with what's called a slurry.
That slurry then has to be refined to get out all the cannabinoids. Solventless methods are also used. The rest is just cooked, baked, and batched in the kitchen, which is more like a massive room with about 20 work tables, overhead fans, and stainless steel refrigerators, piping, and industrial scale containers.
So we do vape pens here. We have a chocolate machine over there. We have a gummy cooker right here.
Once finished, products move to the dispensary where medical patients pick up their orders.
This is our sales floor.
A handful of people sit at cubicles, scrolling through products as we head to the back.
This is kind of our finished vault. This is where they pick and pack everything.
It looks much like a traditional pharmacy. Today's on-site pharmacist, John Yelly, says the most common conditions he sees are post-surgical pain, cancer, and arthritis. While there aren't currently preemptive consultations with recommending physicians, this is an area that will expand in the future, now that the state's Cannabis Control Authority has launched a new cannabis education program for physicians as of December 1st. I'm Sarah Prince.
In the forecast, pretty warm for Christmas with some showers expected too. Isolated rain today, mainly starting out breezy and warm. Highs will be in the low 50s to around 63 for Roanoke. Some clouds and showers in the southwest tonight, more clearing elsewhere, and fairly breezy too, especially along and west of the Blue Ridge. Lows range from 36 for Fredericksburg to 50 for Roanoke. On Christmas Eve, a mix of sun and clouds. More sun starting out, more clouds later. Breezy. Highs in the upper 50s to mid-60s. And cloudy for Christmas Day, rainy, especially starting out breezy and warm, highs in the upper 50s to mid-60s around Danville. Thank you for listening to Virginia On Demand. A little reminder to subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosser.